Father, we just thank you in the name of your blessed Son. And Lord, all I can do, especially after hearing my precious brother Ian sing, "Me too, me too," that's all I can do. Lord, I'm thankful that all I can think about is you. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you've captivated our hearts. And Lord, what you're doing, these young people and how they're encouraging my life and each and every life that's here. Lord, thank you. We know it's your grace. But Lord, let them know how much they mean to you. And again, how much they mean to the body of Christ. Lord, thank you for this time. And oh, what a blessing. What a miracle. In this day and age, what a miracle. But God, even though we should never be surprised, you always surprise us. Lord, I love you so, and thank you for saints and my brothers and sisters that love you insatiably. Thank you, God, for the encouragement that we receive from the sons of God, for now are we the sons of God. Thank you, Lord. We know you're coming soon, and Father, in Jesus' name, just send him. Oh, send him, Father. We love him so, and thank you for allowing us to be quickened to love him back. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise God. Where's a Kleenex up here? There it is. Now I'm going to have to bend down, and I can't. Yeah, I learned a new game. It's called Noodle War. That's like a highlight of my camp time, I want you to know. And yes, I did beat your kids. I want you to know that. And they beat me first. I want you to know that. So the Lord said to take and give and receive, I think, right? And now I'm just okay. But we've had a good time. And I thank God. And grateful, especially the camp and, you know, the ones that run this camp. You know, the Lord, you know, he does spoil us, as Sister Tammy said, and how this is prepared for us and how we come. And I thank the Lord for your thankfulness in your hearts and the joy that sometimes when the Lord gives us a rain out in activities, it was good to hear that you guys like to be in the dorm together, beating on each other, you know, and then bringing that out to Noodle War. So that's good. But here we are. And we got the last night. Do I need this here, Joe? No. It's not my friend. Okay. All right. We'll put that over there. But it's been a precious camp. Amen? Amen. And thanking God how he graces us. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy in chapter 1. And as we begin in this, this is, you know, sweet Apostle Paul. And he sure loves Timothy. There's a passion in his heart. Because you see, Paul met Timothy when Timothy was a young man, probably a teenager, just like you. And he saw the potential in Timothy. He saw that heart that God gave him. It's hard for me to keep it together when I look at you because I love you. I see you here because this word's alive. This word saw me when I was your age. It's alive. It's real. And it comes heavy and quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know what? You can't get away from it. It's just wonderful. And again, his sister said, it circled you. And the Lord pursues you with a passion that I see because of his grace you're awakening to. But Paul met him when he was just a young person. And many years have gone by. And Paul knows that there's a calling upon Timothy's life. Like the Word of God assures us as we sit here tonight, there's a calling upon your life. Matter of fact, it's called the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be in this meeting. You wouldn't be hearing these things, even if it was for your first time. Lord's calling you. Awaken. Because he doesn't want you to miss this. It's too rich. You're too rich for him. Now, here we go. Because so many years have passed by and, you know, Timothy might be 40 or 50 years old at this time. But you know one thing about the love of the Apostle Paul? It never left for that man. It never left. And see, that's another sign of a bridal saint. That love doesn't grow cold. It always is fervent. It always wants God's best for every life. He knows the Word of God does not return void unto the Lord. And we're thankful tonight that God is after you. And I'm so thankful tonight. God's still after me. And I do a lot of wrong things. I mess up. I hit you real hard with that noodle. But see, He loves me. And even when I do stuff like that, that I really probably shouldn't. But I would do it again. But it's Jesus, and He loves us, and it's good. But here you go. Here's Timothy. Paul to Timothy is, Paul knows that Jesus is about ready to take him home. Verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Do you know how people pray for you? I'll tell you one thing, your pastor prays for you. And I don't want you to think that I'm trying to make me look like anything. It's just the grace of God. But I love you. That's why I can't help but just melt when I see you. And pretty much all of God's precious people that He's after. But He says here, greatly desiring. See, He greatly desired to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. See, He never forgot what Timothy received. He never took anything but the Lord gave Timothy the full abundance of truth, just like He's done for you. And Paul said, I know that the Lord is coming for those words. Praise God. He's coming. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, for the putting on of my hands. And see, that's so beautiful, because Timothy, in this encouragement here, he had received the Holy Ghost long, long time ago. But he'd grown cold in that. There was something that got in the way of his life. And basically, it's called unbelief. And unbelief can come in a lot of different ways. But the beautiful thing about our God is it says in the Word of God, even when we believe not, He abides faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's no way you can be separated from the love of God. It's the seed that remaineth. And isn't this wonderful? Even this infilling of the Holy Ghost. Paul doesn't tell him you need to get refilled. He said, that gift's still in you, son. It's time to stir it up. It's time to call out on God. And what's going to happen when that happens? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I see that same potential in every one of you. You know that. And it's not because what I see, but it's what God's Word promises. His Word does not return void unto Him. That Word's been poured out to you. He's after you. You're special to Him. Matter of fact, it says in the Word of God that He's like a merchant that sold all that he had for one pearl. And that's every single one of you. You're a goodly pearl for Him. And I pray you see how He loves you. He insatiably wants you for His own. Set apart to Him. And it's nothing that you can do. It's what He has already seen in His grace. All He wants you to do is just respond to it. All He wants you to do is to say, oh Jesus, I see this love. I believe in Your love. I'm thankful, God. As we said the other day back in Denver, I'm it. Don't be ashamed of that. See, he was fearful. He was fearful. And what did he need? He needed what he had. He needed what he was given. He needed to stir up that Holy Ghost, that fire, because he needed power and he needed love and a sound mind. Praise God. Now, you sweethearts, I'll tell you what. Know how priceless you are to God. I mean priceless. Know how priceless you are to this meeting. Brother Hill used to say it time and time again. The fire of a meeting is in the youth. And here it is. And see, many have departed from that. They get focused on, you know, guys like me, you know, old fellas. Except when I'm playing noodle war. Spark something in me, I want you to know. I do have an attitude God will have to deal with. But getting back to the sermon, well, make sure you're awake. You never want to grow old in that. And I'm not. By the grace of God, I had a pastor. Oh, did I have a pastor. And oh, did he love. And it was that mark in him, in that love. And in that love, he believed God. He believed God like nobody ever knew. Because he marked the love of God. Oh, he was fallible. Made many a mistake. I'm right along that line of fallible and making many mistakes. But the one thing I ain't missing that love. And it ain't missing that love, I'll tell you one thing I do. I believe the Word of God. I believe every bit. It's more real than you sitting here in front of me tonight. I know he's true and I know he's faithful. And I know he will perform the good work which he's begun in me. And I know he'll perform the good work which he's begun in you. But see, I receive that encouragement because I see the faithfulness of God come forth. See, it doesn't need to die out. That trumpet hasn't sounded yet. This age of great, great grace for the bride for Jesus, it's still going on. Bowed over. But there's going to be a time when that trumpet blasts. That time shall be no more. And I'll tell you what, I don't want you to be asleep to it. I don't want to have even one eye to slumber. I want to be focused in. I want to be locked in. It's my wedding day. It's our day. Oh my goodness. I get to perform all these weddings and those two right there. So dear to my heart. And man, that's all they could think about. That's all he could talk about. He had to have a special ring. He had to have all these things because he was in love. Hallelujah. And oh, how they look for that day. There's even a greater love. And he's told you right here. And he's ministering to your heart all because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to think about something here. As Sister said over here, this camp's gone on for a long time. Many years. I think we started the camps here, over here at, as the crow flies, not even about 10, 11 miles. Camp called Glacier View. And I'm guessing we're getting close to 50 years. I can't tell you how many thousands of people, thousands, have been filled with the Holy Spirit at these camps. Thousands. So they received that wonderful gift of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That wonderful moment that most all of you now know about. That love that just poured down. That excitement, that incredible power of the Holy Ghost that takes guys like these and you cry like a baby and you really don't even understand why. Huh? I mean, I keep going back to noodle war. I hit them awful hard. They didn't cry. But they get over here in the Holy Ghost and they're just bawling. Because it's the Holy Ghost. This is love shed abroad. This is something that transcends every bit of this life. But I'm going to tell you, of those thousands that got filled, just a very small percentage kept stirring it up. See, it's wonderful to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but you want to go on full. And the fullness is a lot of things, but it's still one thing. It's just walking in the Spirit. You're going to mess up. It's inevitable. And it's beautiful. Because that's the good fight of faith. See, the sinless perfection He already took care of the moment that you accepted Christ Jesus as Savior. I'm brand new. The life of Christ lives in me just like every single one of you. Just as if I never sinned. I'm a son of God. Now. And I go boldly to the throne of grace. And my Father loves me. He brings me in and He holds me and He tells me, moment by moment, son, I love you. I love you the same because it's the same life. And I'm thankful that I'm not ashamed of that. That's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. But there's something about that Holy Ghost life. It's love shed abroad. There's a yielding that comes forth in your life that wants to hear the Word of God and gather with those of like precious faith. There's encouragement in a life, like Brother Paul was coming back to Timothy and saying, you know what, honey? Stir up the gift. It'll fade on you. A lot of people will say, well, see, I know this doctrine. And then they kind of sit around and say, well, I know this and I don't need to move to the altar. Always move to the altar. The ones I found in my life that truly move to the altar are that small percentage that I'm telling you about that stayed with the stuff. I want you to understand this. It's so wonderful. Every single one of the speakers that were at this camp, they came through these camps. 5 out of 6 of the speakers, except for Kevin, because I think he got filled before he went to camp in a fight. But that's how God will do stuff like that. Don't know how that works, but you'll have to talk to God when you see him. But 5 out of the 6, including this one right here, we were filled at these youth camps. And it could be that almost exactly 40 years ago, 10 miles to the, I guess that would be the south. I'm real bad with directions, but Dwayne could help me. Maybe even tonight, 40 years ago, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. The other ones that spoke 20 years ago, this guy right here about 10 years ago. Just like you, at a church camp, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's that same fire that filled me that night, that carries me today, that gives me that youthful joy in my heart, that ain't going away. Because by the grace of God, the Word is true. And He says, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. And I'll tell you an essential part of this gift. And I'm telling you, adults, this altar ain't just for the youth. When we go back to Denver, I've been thankful to God. It's hard to find room at the altar. But there is room at the altar. It's a great problem to have. If by the grace of God we have to build a bigger altar, we will. But it is. I always think of it. It's like, you know, I'm kind of spoiled. Kind of really spoiled with my mother. She knows I love a German chocolate cake. Only the very top portion, the icing. You can have all that other stuff. I just want that icing. That's what after service is at an altar. It's the icing. Got all the meat. Now you get that icing. And you know why? Because I get to worship with my brothers and sisters. I get to come out here. You know, that's what I'm saying. With you all. I want to worship with you. You encourage my heart. We're joints of a body, tightly fit, compacted together. And by the grace of God, we need one another. You're not stoic going out there alone. No, the Word of God always says, assemble yourselves together. Gather together. It was just like when all this thing started at Pentecost. It was so funny, the Lord took a whole bunch of them, stuck them in a tiny room, an upper room. Didn't let them out for 40 days. Stay in there. I'm going to send the Spirit. You know what happened? He sent the Spirit. Just like when you come down here, you know what He said? He said, I want you to have this. This is yours. This is why Jesus, you know, that's the reason that He really ascended to the right hand of God. And He told those disciples. See, because it was finished when He died on that cross. When He gave up the ghost, it was finished. It was done. The victory over sin and death, it was done. But there was more. There was more. And the more was He was going to ascend, rise up out of that grave, and then ascend. And He told those disciples, He said, I've got to go to my Father because I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. Oh, He's been with you, but He shall be in you. And the reason I'm sending Him to you, fellas, is because I love you so much. 3.5 years I've been with you. But I've wanted to tell you stuff in my heart. I wanted to just express this great love that I have for you. But even though you've touched me, and even though you've laid your head upon my breast, even though you've heard my voice audibly, you cannot receive this because there's a plan of God. And you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And He says, and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, He'll guide you into all. He'll lead you into the deep things of God. He'll give you power. He'll give you love. And He'll give you a sound mind. Amen. It all started at a youth camp. Now I'm going to tell you something. This Holy Ghost thing, it's a must. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. It really is. See, if it's all of the Word of God that somehow, some way is hitting your heart, and I know somehow, some way it is, because you're here. You wouldn't be here without it. It's got to be the Holy Ghost. If you see that there's more with Jesus, more in this Word, it's going to have to be the Holy Ghost that does it. If you see that, praise God, being saved is just the very beginning of it, it's got to be the Holy Ghost. If you've sat here long enough and you hear about this bridal truth and about being a bride for Jesus and ruling and reigning jointly together with Him, to be glorified together with Him, there is a requirement. Only the Holy Ghost can minister that to your heart. See, the Holy Ghost gives you power to believe. And that's why Paul was telling Timothy, you've got to stir up that gift, honey, because you're getting defeated. You've got that. You've got the Holy Ghost. You know this truth. But see, without it being stirred up, that love ain't going to percolate in your life. How confident are you all when you know you're loved? Huh? How many times each one of us kids been down? I remember that. I was the youngest. I got picked on all the time. I was a chubby kid. I got picked on all the time. But I'll tell you what, I had a mom that loved me. Every time I come to my mother, she hit me with love. And you know what? I never quit. Because I was loved. And let me tell you something. I don't care who doesn't love you. I know who does love you. A father that'll never be separated from you. That has got love backing and showering on you every single moment. And all He wants you to do is that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. And I'll tell you what, it'll give you power to believe. It'll give you power to believe when you fail. I've heard about a lot of things, a lot of these young people that I thank God you're here. That you've hit some hard times. There have been things that have happened in your life. Well, you know what? If He be for me, who could be against me, honey? It's wonderful. I'll tell you what. This whole Bible is a book about failures. But it's one thing that's consistent in all those failures is the love of God. And that it's impossible for Him to fail. And that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? And it's the very power of His might that's backing you. So here we are. And I thank God that it's wonderful to see this sincerity of you all and how earnest it's been that you come down to the altar. But I'm going to tell you something. What you receive down here, especially if you got filled this week, and especially if there's a fullness going on, recognize what it is. It's love. It's the all-powerful love of God. It is. See, I know people that know the Word of God. I mean, really know the Word of God. Know very deep things in the Word of God. Incredibly. But one thing, it was the Holy Ghost that showed them that. But what happens is if you don't stir it up, you know what happens? Your love grows cold. You know what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13? You could know all mysteries. And I believe that means every mystery, even bridal truth. But you know what? If you don't have love, it doesn't profit you a thing. You better receive that. Because I'm going to tell you something. There was a church that was mentioned today called Ephesus. And Ephesus, man, you look at that list of all the things. They knew they were faithful. Man, you talk about churchgoers. They were there all the time. Huh? Oh, all the things that they did and in a sense, the faithfulness to attend. But the Lord said, I got one thing against you. You left your first love. Don't let that be you. Don't need to be you. I don't want that to be me. And there's a lot of things that go on about first love. It's got to be tried. See, if you just think out there and say, hey, look, I'm going to be in first love because, you know, I'm so great and I'm just so godly with Jesus. I'll tell you what, you just missed it. You're thankful about that love because of the grace of God. There's a knee that's always bended. There's a broken heart that goes on all the time. And I'll tell you what, in that lowliness, you stay in love. It's awesome. Now, here we go. This camp has brought me back to thinking about a special brother, special young man, that was here about 4 years ago. And some of you met him. His name was Andrew. And Andrew is in heaven now. And a young person just like you. And Andrew, those that didn't know him or those that need to be reminded, he was really sick. Matter of fact, when he was 15 years old, he was diagnosed with a very, very deadly cancer. But right at the beginning, because see, Andrew was saved, God gave him faith to believe and know that the Lord could heal him. Never consumed Andrew that the doctor said he had a death sentence, because he didn't realize all the time is that God had put an abundant life sentence on him. Abundant life sentence. See, he already had eternal life because he's saved. But I'm going to tell you what, there was an abundance life sentence when that was diagnosed in his life. Here's how it went. Andrew became very encouraged in the things of God. And again, not because he thought he was going to die. It's because God stopped everything in his life. Have you ever had a trial that God stopped everything in your life? Well, this was a pretty big one. Because you know what? He couldn't go to school anymore. He was an incredible athlete and he couldn't play ball anymore. Matter of fact, he had to go through such incredible chemo treatments. It just ravaged his body. But it was amazing. He never wanted you to feel sorry for him. There was a strength that God gave him. It's not to praise the man. It's the treasure in the earthen vessel. And God so graced him that even though he never really got well, in a sense, as man would say, he was really getting abundant life because he started seeing more and more in the scriptures. He started realizing that, you know, because he lived in California, that crazy uncle and my crazy grandma, you know, those are pretty happy people. There's a joy every time we get around them. They're talking about Jesus and talking more about Jesus. And you know what? I know they love me, and with a special love. And I didn't know Andrew real well, but I'll tell you what. There was something God did because he gave us a bond. As a matter of fact, it's called the spiritual bond. And I believe towards the very end, it was a cherubim bond. But let's back up just a bit. He began to realize his need to know more truth. Not because of time, but because of God's will. Because of what God was dealing with his heart. And he began to really realize as he would call me and I said, "Now, honey, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost." Well, he lived all the way out in California. He says, "Well, how am I going to get filled with the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Trust the Lord, seek him, pray." And so he would, this went on for months. And he prayed diligently. And I said, "Now, honey, just let's worship the Lord." And I'd be on the phone and we'd worship the Lord together. "Now, call out to God, honey. And just don't be afraid. Just lift up your voice to him. He'll fill you." Well, this went on for months and months and months. And you know what? He didn't get filled. So finally, the Lord encouraged my heart. He said, "You know, Jess, you're going to have to tell him, Andrew, you got to come to camp. You got to come to camp." Well, he said, "Well, Uncle, why do I need to come to camp?" And I said, "Well, honey, there's an atmosphere here. There's an atmosphere. God graces us, and we come up here, and we worship the Lord together. There's young people, and they're on fire for God. They may not realize it, but God's on fire for them. And it's a short amount of time, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ did a lot in 3 days and three nights. See, they tried to take a day away from us. They didn't realize, that's nothing to God. Just 3 days and three nights, I got this. You watch what I'm going to raise up out of this camp." He does it again and again every year, doesn't he? And it's not because of us. It's because of the faithfulness of God. And so I told him, I said, "Now, son, you come on out here and you worship. I'm confident the Lord will fill you." Well, because he was so sick and all of the treatments he had, his lungs were very, very bad. And it was even dangerous for him to fly, let alone coming up here at 9,000 feet, living at sea level. I told his dad, his dad was Mr. No. "Oh, we're not doing that." Well, the thing was is that Andrew had his daddy on a string. And so Andrew said, we're going to camp, Dad." "Oh, no, we're not." "Well, guess what happened?" He was at camp. And then guess what happened at camp? He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget that infilling because it was right out there. It wasn't here. See, Andrew was very special. He was a special package. And there was just too much going on in here for him. He said, "Uncle, if I go out there, I know the Lord's going to fill me." Now, I've never had that request before. And I would have told pretty much anybody else, "I don't think so. I think we're going to get filled in here." But this was Andrew we were talking about. And he had me on a string pretty good too. But we went out there, and by the way, it was raining. And we went out to an aspen tree. And you know what happened? He got filled. He got filled. Well, that was pretty mighty. It was pretty amazing that he got filled. But that was in July, just like it is today. Okay. By next June, 11 months later, he was present with Jesus. 11 months, not even. And there he was face to face with Jesus. But I got to tell you something, what happened in that 11 months about the Holy Ghost. What happened was, is that the Word of God, which is true, said, "You get filled, I'm going to start taking you into all truth. If you'll go." Well, Andrew started really reading his Bible. We'd talk on the phone 2-3 times a week. He would listen to the Bible studies. He would listen on Sunday mornings. Matter of fact, he quit going to church where his family went to church. His dad said, "Well, why won't you go to church with me?" He said, "Well, Dad, that's a baby pastor." His dad, not knowing what he was talking about, Andrew had to instruct his dad. "Dad, all that pastor can give is milk. I want meat." 11 months, mind you. Living in the heart of San Francisco, pretty much. No one to encourage him there. Except God. Now, in that 11 months, the Lord made the bridal message not just something he saw, not just something that was real, but something he loved. He loved. Because he stirred up the Holy Ghost. How do I know that? Well, not only talking to him, but one of the things I was privileged to see were pictures of his Bible. That's what I wanted. When Jesus took him home, his sister said, "Well, Uncle, what can I do?" I said, "Will you get his Bible and take pictures of his Bible?" And she said, "Pictures of his Bible? You mean the outside?" I said, "Oh, no, 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 the inside of that Bible." She says, "Well, there's a lot of pages." I said, "Well, I'm going to take you to just a few. I want you to take pictures for me." I said, "I want you to go to Ephesians 3. I want you to go to Philippians 3. I want you to go to Romans 8. I want to see what's by the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to see what's by a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him. I want to see what's by," because I knew God told me, "Oh, honey, you got to look what's by there. I want to see what's by joint heirs, sunt cluronimus, even though, you know." Well, I'm going to tell you something. All of those verses, it was the Holy Ghost and the stirring, wrote right by it, the bridal truth. This is the mark for the prize. Right there where sunt cluronimus was, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Now, here's the end of that story that really has no end. But for us, a testimony. And here you go. So Jesus took him home. About the last month of his life, he knew the Lord was going to take him home. He knew his body was failing. But he knew that he had a meeting with the bridegroom. There was no fear. There was no doubt. As a matter of fact, the only thing he wanted was, "Hurry it up, Lord. If it be thy will, I want to see you." And he wrote a beautiful farewell to his family, as well as telling them, as his daddy said, at least 100 times over. His dad didn't like hearing it, but he told him, "Dad, Jesus is going to come for me. He's going to take me home. But there's one thing you all have to promise me, that you're going to go to camp." And that's the truth. He wrote that in his farewell. He said that to them audibly. "Don't you miss going to camp." His dad, his mom, his brother, his sister. "You need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to see what I see. You need to walk, oh, in the heights of this glorious message that it only took me a short amount of time to see." See, you don't know how long you got. And it's not about the time, but it is about now. And it's about passion. And I'll tell you, you know that Jesus is passionate for you. You have no doubt that he's not passionate for you. And I'll tell you what, all he wanted them to do was to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't, "Remember me." It wasn't, "Oh, I want you to think about me." Because I'm going to tell you something. He didn't listen to this, everybody. He didn't want that drama in his life. Fight drama in your life. See, he didn't point to himself. He didn't say, "Oh, woe is me." He did not dwell upon his trial. Don't do it. Let me tell you something. I'm not comparing it, but you don't have what he had. God willing. But we can get in the, "A woe is me." And we can be talking all about ourselves. And you can miss the proposal of Christ Jesus in your life. And that's why I loved him so. There was a testimony that came out that was so mighty. It's not about me. I don't want it to be about me. This is too great. It's about Jesus. It's about knowing the whole counsel of God. It's about, praise God, knowing Jesus in the fullest, to know the message of the bride. And the one thing he knew for his family is it'll never happen if you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. It has no chance. And then it'll never happen if you don't feed on the strong meat. See, he knew he couldn't just get filled and then go off and hear things that weren't the deep things of God. He knew he had to stay with the meat of the gospel. He knew he had to be around, you know, kooky ones like me. And there ain't many. And it's not because, in a sense, I'm special, but this message is special. This message is everything. This message is what's holding up even all of the evil that's going to come over this world. And there's an evil coming over this world that you can't even imagine. But the beautiful thing is the Lord said, I haven't appointed you to go into that tribulation. I'm giving you a message, praise God, that I'm holding back this time because I'm getting ready to take out my bride, my spouse. Now, young people and old people and older people and really old people, do you realize the opportunity we have? Do you realize how graced, greatly graced? I was just thinking, and I do, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I boast in the testimony of the faithfulness of God. These ones, including myself, that have come through this camp receiving the Holy Ghost 40 years later, 30 years later, 20 years later, 10 years later, stirring up the gift, preaching the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Honeys, there's a mark that was set out. And his sister said, I'm thankful for those that went before us. And it ain't easy. But let me tell you something, there ain't no other way. Amen. Those disciples said, and what they knew, which was just a little stuff, well, Lord, where else can we go? Well, I'm telling you what, with we know? Where else can we go? Well, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a trump that's going to blast. And that's a voice, the archangel, your precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's going to call a bride away. Those are ones that are in tune. And fellas, don't think that's something strange. God gives us that type. We can't even understand it. Except in that, we can believe it. I'm going to tell you something. You can believe it. And those that are in love with him, they're going to hear, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And I'll tell you what, that's what you're introduced to at this camp. And all he wants you to do is to give him thanks. All he's asking, will you come down and receive from me? If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, will you receive it? It's right there. Everything with God is the same way. It's by faith. You accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, it's by faith. The Holy Ghost, it's by faith. But I'm telling you, because I'm thankful, most of you are filled. But it's time to stir it up even more. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't you love power and love and a sound mind? I don't want to doubt. I want to be on the mark. So let's come. Let's worship him tonight. And I'm telling you, everybody in here, remember, this was to Timothy. Remember how old that fellow was. Probably it had been maybe 30 years since he received the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since we've stirred up every bit of it? I believe there's many a life in here that said, I'm marking Paul and I'm following Paul as he followed Christ. Don't forget one of the great things Paul said. I'm thankful I speak more than ye all. Let's come and worship the Lord together. Amen. I don't think we need a song. We just need to worship Him. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.